Good day, Philadelphia. This is Bishop Luke Radio Hour. As always, with you every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. And now, opening praying by Bishop Luke of Philadelphia. Згоба.
Merry Christmas. Христос рождається.
Славімо Його.
Слава Ісусу
Happy New
Христу.
Year.
Happy New Year, Allah. Happy New Year, really. And let us pray to the Lord and God bless this 2024. And the God will wish us the health, salvation, visitation, and many, many healthy years. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the holy churches of God, and for the union of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral and all churches in Philadelphia, and for those who entered faith, reverence, and the fear of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our Patriarch Philaret, for the honorable priesthood deaconate in Christ, and the Bishop Luke, and for all the clergy and the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this country's president, for all civil authorities, and for the armed forces everywhere, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this city of Philadelphia, and for the new mayor, Cheryl Parker, for every city and country, and for the faithful dwelling in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, for abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For travelers by land, by sea, and by air, for the sick and the suffering, for captives and their salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may be delivered from all affliction, wrath, danger, and necessity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.
Commemorating our most holy, most pure, most blessed, and glorious Lady Theotokos, and ever Virgin Mary, with all the saints, let us commend ourselves and each other, and all our life unto Christ our God.
To thee.
For unto thee are the glory, honor, and worship to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Happy New Year, dear brother and sister listeners. The last Sunday, December 31, before the New Year, we have a special scripture reading from Matthew 1:1-25. The scripture from the Bible, from the Matthew, Evangelist Matthew, from Jesus Christ trees. The scripture reading from last Sunday receives the long genealogy of Jesus Christ, his family tree. Why did Matthew think it important to record these many names? A lot of names, because from this long list of ordinary people was born a baby who would change the world. Yes, the world would never be the same. To all parents, till now, your babies change your life, your small world. With the birth of your child, you started thinking differently. Perhaps becoming less selfish, perhaps mankind wiser decisions, perhaps mankind long-term plans, perhaps being more sensible with how you spend money, and perhaps even being more careful with your daily activities as you were needed to protect and nurture your baby. Your priorities change. Your life change. And the same is true with the birth of Jesus. We as Orthodox Christian faithful changed because of this little baby. Jesus changed the way we use our time. Jesus changed the way we interact with people. Jesus Christ changed the way we live our lives. Jesus changed everything about us. When Jesus came into our lives, our character changed and our heart changed, and we practice Christian virtues and show brotherly affection. And all babies change the future of their parents. Baby Jesus did the same. With his birth, our future and the future of humanity was transformed, for we can all look forward to eternal salvation. Let us rejoice. Amen. Dear brother and sister, friends, all the neighbors in the city of Philadelphia, welcome this Saturday, January 6th, Orthodox Christmas Eve. 5 p.m. Holy Supper in the Cathedral, St. Nicholas Cathedral Hall. 6:30 Vespers Confession, followed by the Patriarchal Choir singing Christmas carols. And Sunday, January 7th, please welcome Christmas Day, this Orthodox traditional. 8:45 a.m. reading of the third hour, 9 o'clock Vesting, 9:15 a.m. Hierarchal Divine Liturgy, followed by the Patriarchal Choir singing Christmas carols, and Christmas lunch in the St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral Hall. The address is 817 North 7th Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19123. Is Norton Liberties. 817 North 7th Street, Philadelphia, Norton Liberties. Welcome, everyone. And brother and sister, we have special, the St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral, we have parking lot, private parking lot, free parking lot. The address is 820 Hoffman Place, Philadelphia. This between 7th Street and Brown Street in the corner. Again, please welcome to this Saturday at 5 o'clock and Sunday at 9 a.m. And can any questions, please call to the Cathedral Office, 215-922-9671. Again, 215-922-9671. And dear brother and sister, right now we have radio show, Bishop Luke radio show, and WWDBAM 860. Brothers and sisters, and we have special calendar, St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral, and liturgical calendars for 2024 have arrived. Compliments of Fletcher Nosevich. Please pick up your calendar in the candle room with Day Less. This is for free. Do you want the Orthodox liturgical calendars for every day, every month, 12 months, every day? And you pick it up any time, or Saturday or Sunday. And Allah, who has the question, please call direct.
Dear listeners, our direct call number is 888-329-3306. You can call us directly to the studio, WWDBAM 860, Philadelphia.
And right now we have carols.
Yes, this Merry is wonderful Christmas. Musical Ukrainian tradition to greet everyone with Jesus' birth.
Thank you, Al.
These days, we very often in Orthodox tradition, we tell our children about the way Jesus was born. And in Sunday schools, this is the priority topic. So I would like to remind to our youngest listeners that Jesus was born from a woman who was named Mary. She was expecting a baby and he should have been God's son. And they even knew his name, he would be named Jesus. And just before the baby was due, an emperor told everyone to return to their hometowns. He wanted to count his people. Mary and her husband Joseph had to travel to a town named Bethlehem. When the couple arrived, all of the inns were full. But one kind innkeeper said Mary and Joseph could sleep in the stable behind his inn. That night, Mary's baby was born, and Mary wrapped a soft blanket around little Jesus. She laid the baby gently in the straw. On that night, when Jesus was born, some shepherds were outside watching their sheep. An angel visited the shepherds. Your king has come, the angel said. The shepherds hurried to Bethlehem. There they found Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, just as the angel had told them. Alleluia! The shepherds sang when they saw the baby. Praise God! Sometime later, three wise men spotted a new star in the sky. They knew that the star meant Jesus had been born. They traveled to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. When they found Jesus, they laid gifts at his feet.
Thank you, Professor Alla Puchtecka. And again, Alla, we have very important 2024 dates, especially January. The Saturday, January 6, 2024, the Saturday, Christmas Eve Holy Supper at 5 p.m. in the St. Nicholas Cathedral Hall, followed by Vespers and singing of carols at 6:30 p.m. in the sanctuary. And Sunday, January 7, this Sunday, 2024, Christmas Day, Hierarchal Divine Liturgy, followed by Christmas lunch in the Cathedral Hall. And the next Thursday, January 18, 2024, Eve of Theophany and Great Blessing of Water at Vespers 5 p.m. And Friday, January 19, 2024, Theophany Hierarchal Divine Liturgy at 9 a.m. Right now, we have very beautiful information from the Philadelphia. This is news. And Philadelphia has new mayor, the 100th mayor, and the first woman to hold the office in 341 years. And can you believe, 341 years, she is the first. and I'm busy.
Yes, I saw her wonderful speech and I was amazed. She told, I'm standing on the on those people, on my ancestors and on the shoulders of those people who helped me to be elected. And she told she has priorities as a teacher and access to education. And Bishop Luke, he has been personally invited to bless the meeting, and the Council of the City of Philadelphia requested the honor of his presence at the investiture of members of Council of the Organization of the Council. For the inauguration of the Honorable Chair Parker as mayor, and Bishop was present personally at this event. It is very, very highly reputable.
Thank you. I really appreciate attorney Marina Katz. She's organized and helped us from the tickets and this inauguration day. Looks really beautiful. We saw a lot of people and in the music center in Philadelphia. Very organized.
Yes.
The people stayed outside in the line and everything is great. God bless.
And what I liked very much in her speech, she told what's going on in northeast of Philadelphia. And she was saying, what should my topic be about? Of course, about northeast. So I think Bishop has a lot of topics to tell, to explain and to find help to, because he has established a northeast refugee center. He has a center with war refugee children, education academy, who provides access to education to those who have no access to education as they are war refugees. And
a lot of businesses in the northeast right now,
there are a lot of new businesses and they're originating from the former Soviet republics. Those are new refugees coming.
She's right. You know, how many restaurants and businesses I blessed in last year, maybe a couple, not the hundreds. But
the most important maybe was food bank cooperation and food pantry activities at 10151 Busselton Avenue. As every Thursday, Bishop provides food there to everyone who needs it. And tomorrow on Thursday, please come at 5 o'clock. We shall provide food.
And really appreciate, thank you so much, Archbishop Mary Palmer. And thank you. She's told me all story from the new mayor, Cheryl Parker. She is excited. Me too. And we send the blessing to her. And God bless you. And good luck, Mayor Cheryl Parker. You are the best. We love it from your speech. And you're really smart. She's really very smart person. And good luck, and for sure, we support to her, correct, Dala? And I think she will be visit in St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral and the Northeast Refugee Center. We have a lot of people right now, especially the kids. How many kids we have from Ukraine?
23, and we have additional Saturday program, additionally 13 persons, and we have other people calling and asking for help and assistance. So we try to provide our best.
Yes, and Allah, you told me you saw the bad news from Ukraine.
Unfortunately, before the New Year night and after New Year night, there were terrible attacks to Kyiv, Kherson, Zaporizhia regions. And unfortunately, too much weapons were used of different types against civil people just sleeping during New Year night. It was awful. And, official statistics say that there were injured 128 persons. But, of course, we understand that not all of them had possibility to apply for help. And this is awful. This is the century that should be guided by rule of law and not rule by Putin.
We have a text message from Veronika Matvienko, choir director from Kyiv, and she sent you, say hello to Alla Puchtetska, bishop, and thanks God, everything okay, Patriarch Filaret okay, but every night we have like sirena
terrible alarm. Air attacks.
Yes, terrible air attacks. And we have a lot of damages in the central Kyiv. But we pray, thank you, American people, Veronica said, and say Happy New Year, all my brother and sister in the United States of America. You really, the brother and sister, thank you for help, and Ukrainian and refugees, and God help us. And Patriarch Filaret, he's prayed to American people too. And please pray to us. God bless America. Happy 2020 for New Year's. Thank you, Veronica. God help you too. Yes, we always pray for you. Right now, we have. We will say thank you so much, Allah the Mercy Fleet Company, who is the general sponsor
of our Bishop
Luke radio program. And thank you, the directors from Mercy Fleet. And we say thank you so much, and God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Dear listeners, our good friend and sponsor of the program, company Mercy Fleet, would like to make an announcement. This transportation company has immediate openings for drivers. Paid training will be provided. Compensation negotiable based on experience, employment time, full-time, part-time available, Saturday, Sunday shifts available. $500 sign-up bonus is available until December 31st, 2022 with conditions. The following qualifications are required. They must be 21 years old and older. Valid Pennsylvania driver's license is required. A good driving and criminal records are required. Must be able to pass pre-employment drug and physical tests. Applicants must be comfortable with driving vans, minivans, wheelchair vans, 14 plus passengers buses. Previous professional experience in transporting people with disabilities and elderly is a plus. Please call Mercy Fleet Company 215-660-4975. Main base location for the interview is 3021 Franks Road, Suite 8, Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania 19006, or check mercyfleet.com for address. I repeat, the telephone 215-660-4975. Thank you. Thank you. dear listeners, I would like to read for you the material about rules how to forgive a person who could make a scene and how to react at that. For example, when your brother or your sister tease you a lot, do you feel sometimes that you cannot take any more? What would Jesus do if he were in your place? Let's ask the Prince of Teachers and see what he says. Listen, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repeats, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive him.
7 times, you say,
what a lot of times. But now, when Peter came to Jesus and asked how many times he should forgive his brother and whether 7 times was the limit, Jesus said he was to go on forgiving him until 70 times 7. How many times is that? 490. Why, you say? I couldn't keep count of all those times. Of course you couldn't. And Jesus knew that perfectly well when he said it. He doesn't keep account of the number of times he forgives us. 490 times would mean once a day for more than a year. Have you ever tried forgiving anybody that many times? If not, and you are feeling angry with somebody right now, get a notebook and pencil and start writing. First, put down all the things this somebody has done to upset you. Next, write forgiven across the list. Then put a check mark beside that precious word. Every time you tell the person you forgive him when he annoys you again. But the time you have made 20 or 30 check marks that somebody will probably be your best friend. Try it and see. Even the meanest people can't resist pure love like that. Forgiving is part of God's better way, the way of love which Jesus came from heaven to reveal to us. Forgiving someone over and over again, 50 times, 100 times, 490 times, is love in action. Love at its best and grandest. Love reaching out to another heart, which all its healing, winning power. We can never hope to belong to Christ's kingdom of love if we don't know how to forgive people who do us wrong. He couldn't afford to let us in. We'd be having trouble with somebody in no time at all. Forgive us as we forgive. We pray every time we say the Lord's Prayer, but how do we forgive? Just a little bit? Just once now and then? Just when we feel in the right mood? We wouldn't want God to forgive us like that. No, Jesus wants us to be so full of his love that a forgiven spirit will come naturally. We will never take offense, no matter what anybody says or does to us. We will go on loving him just the same. So important is this, that we have this forgiven spirit in our hearts, that Jesus said that if we take a gift to church and on getting there remember that a brother is upset with us for some reason or other, we are to forget the gift and find the brother. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift, he said. To Jesus, a loving, forgiven spirit is much more important than money. He would far rather make peace with an old enemy than give a big donation to a church building fund. So we had better start forgiving right away. Think, is there someone you should forgive today? Now, dear listeners, I would like to tell you about the Revolution of Dignity in Ukraine that took place on November 21st, 2013.
Several journalists came to Maidan Nezalezhnosti, we call it Independence Square in Kyiv, and spread an appeal via social networks, calling on everyone who cared about Ukraine's future to join them. Initially, the protesters demanded only the signing of the agreement with the European Union, which is why the protest was called the Euromaidan. Later, the protest was supported by the opposition, and similarly to the Orange Revolution, the Revolution of Dignity began on the day of Archangel Michael, who has been considered the protector of Kyiv since ancient times. Although the Euromaidan was not prohibited by court, several days later the Berkut riot police attacked at night the students who were spending the night at Maidan Nezalezhnosti. The young people were beaten with truncheons, chased down the streets and kicked when they were down. Nearly 100 people were injured. Some of the protesters found refuge in St. Michael's Monastery, opened by His Holiness Patriarch Philaret to protect these young people. The country was shocked by this unprecedented brutality and the fact that the victims were mostly young people with sincere aspirations. A day later, from several hundred thousand to 1.5 million people, according to various estimates, gathered in Kyiv for a protest rally. A camp resembling the historical Zaporizhian siege was set up in downtown Kyiv. Alcohol was banned from the camp, and food and medical treatment were provided free of charge by volunteers. Millions of people across the country donated money and necessities for the needs of the protesters. For 2 months, the protesters did not commit any offenses at the Maidan, despite the fact that several million people protested there during this time. Starting on December 8, numerous statues of Lenin were demolished across the country in a process dubbed Leninopad by Ukrainians. This was perceived as a farewell to the empire and dictatorship. Almost immediately, the authorities resorted to individual intimidation for the capital and the regions. Political activists were beaten, arrested, and fired from their jobs. Hired thugs, tetushki, so called after the last name of a goon who attacked journalists, were involved in these assaults. Similar Maidans emerged in all regions of Ukraine. People often had to muster more courage to join protests in the regions than in the capital. The ruling regime decided to create a counterpart of the Euromaidan, the Anti-Maidan, in order to simulate wide public support for the government. It had to pay Anti-Maidan participants because few, if any, people were willing to come to its defense free of charge. Russia saw the Euromaidan as a threat to Yanukovych's puppet regime that could threat the Kremlin's plans for the final conquest of Ukraine. Moreover, the Russian government feared that the Ukrainian example in the fight for freedom and against corruption would be attractive to Russians. The Kremlin decided to link the provision of a loan to Yanukovych's regime with the destruction of the Maidan. At a meeting with diplomats, Yanukovych said that the government would not use force against peaceful demonstrations. However, that same night, on December 11, 2013, security units attacked the Euromaidan from three sides. The bells of St. Michael's Cathedral called Kyiv residents to the Maidan. It was only in the morning that the attack was repulsed. After this attempt at storming, the Maidan began to turn into a kind of fortress surrounded by barricades. In general, protesters often break windows and loot shops, while the authorities prevent this from happening. That winter in Kyiv, it was the other way. Around the government itself organized attacks on law-abiding citizens in their property. The authorities brought thousands of tetushki to Kyiv and had them burn cars, destroy property, and brutally beat passers-by in order to destabilize the situation and justify repressions. In January 2014, Kyiv experienced a threefold increase in arsons, robberies and car theft. The police did next to nothing to investigate these crimes. In response, Kyiv residents formed units to patrol the city and protect property. When caught, tetushki were forced to publicly repeat of the crimes they had committed. In order to protect the protesters from the attacks of the police and the tetushki, the Maidan self-defense composed of volunteers was created. It soon grew into 40 sotnyas, and that means hundreds, up to 150 people in each. One of the sotnyas consisted of Afghan war veterans, while another one was women only. The Euromaidan helped society get rid of fear. The regime was looking for ways to restore it, and on January 16, 2014, the authorities approved the so-called dictatorship laws. The punitive provisions of these laws were copied from oppressive Russian legislation but were made even tougher. Arrest for organizing a rally, prison terms for group protests, wearing a protective helmet or setting up a tent, arrest for up to 15 days for donations to protesters. Activists who blocked the houses of high-ranking officials faced up to 6 years in prison. The production and distribution of materials deemed extremist by the authorities in the mass media or on the internet was punishable by a prison term of up to 3 years. Extremist activities were defined so vaguely that any social, political, or human rights activities could be subsumed under the definition. Yanukovych's regime decided to hand out firearms not only to police officers, judges, and prosecutors, but also to their relatives. Since the Constitution of Ukraine prohibits curtailment of existing rights and freedoms, the protesters marched to the Verkhovna Rada demanding the abolition of the dictatorship laws on January 19. Residents brought car tires to Khrushchevsky Street so that the protesters could use a smoke screen to hide from shots fired by the security units. However, dozens of people lost their eyesight and hundreds sustained other wounds from plastic bullets fired at the crowd. The confrontation on Khrushchevsky Street came to a head on January 22 when live bullets killed three persons. Sergei Nigayan, a Ukrainian of Armenian origin, Belarusian Mikhail Zhezhnevsky, and Ukrainian Roman Senek. This crime was committed on Unification Day, which is highly revered by Ukrainians, immediately after Yanukovych's ministers made public statements on the legality of the use of live ammunition against demonstrators. The same day, the body of a Maidan activist was found in the woods near Kyiv with signs of torture. He had been kidnapped from a hospital, tortured, and left to die in the cold. Until then, for two long months, hundreds of thousands of peaceful demonstrators prevented any offenses. The adoption of the dictatorship laws and especially the killing of protesters put an end to the peaceful phase of the conflict. The traditional divisions in the society, ethnic, linguistic, were losing their meaning. The main division of the Maidan was about whether the regime had the right to despise and abuse citizens. Yanukovych was trying to buy time, hoping that the Maidan would fizzle out or at least become mired in internal disputes. In contrast, senior Russian officials publicly called on Yanukovych to use force to immediately suppress the protests. Against of the Russian special services came to Kyiv to coordinate plans for the destruction of the Maidan and aircraft, brought explosives and special ammunition from Russia. According to the plan of Operation Boomerang, more than 22,000 fighters of Special Task Force units were to obliterate the Maidan. A tale about the Ukrainian language in the United States of America. Казка про українську мову в Сполучених Штатах Америки. Перекладено директором Академії Святого Луки Пухтецькою Аллою Альбертівною. Translated into English by the director of St. Luke Education Academy. Багато тисяч років тому жила в Україні прекрасна дівчина. Була вона добра, щира, привітна до людей, гарно співала українських пісень, любила Україну усім своїм серцем. Її звали Українська мова. Жила з нашим народом, а Бог наділив її красою і розумом. Любила вишивати і вдягалася у вишиванку. Many thousand years ago there lived in Ukraine a beautiful girl. She was kind, fair, open to people. She was a wonderful singer and sang the Ukrainian songs. She loved Ukraine with all her heart. Her name was the Ukrainian language. She lived with the Ukrainian people and God has blessed her not only with beauty, but also gave the wisdom. She loved to embroider and was wearing the вишиванка.
Дівчина любила писати писанки і дарувати всім, робити людей щасливими. З українською мовою наш народ розвивався і творив чудову культуру, яку передавали з покоління в покоління аж донині.
This girl loved to paint писанкас and give as a gift to everyone to make people happy. With the Ukrainian language, our people were developing and creating a wonderful culture that was transmitted from generation to generation till our times.
Україна мала багато сусідів. Вони переглядалися щасливому життю українського народу і стали заздрити, що у них не так, як у нього. Деякі почали зазіхати на нашу землю, щоб собі її підкорити і панувати над нашим народом. Почались війни і вороги мали багато успіхів та поневолювали наш народ. Вони забороняли українську мову, а накидали свою чужу.
Ukraine had a lot of neighbors. They were jealous to the happy life of the Ukrainian people and started being jealous that at their side it is not so as at them. Some of them started to attack our land to subordinate it and to govern over our people. The wars started then, and the enemies had a lot of success and were making our people to become slaves. They prohibited the Ukrainian language and were imposing another, a foreign one.
Український народ розбігався по широкому світі, щоб рятувати себе і свою рідну мову. Та чужина руйнувала їх ще більше. І наш народ ставав частиною чужих народів. Свої діти відрікались від рідного слова і ставали чужинцями для свого народу. З частиною українського народу помандрувала і українська мова, шукаючи доброї долі на чужині. Мандрувала українська мова по світі, зустрічала земляків і не впізнавала, чи це свої люди.
Ukrainian language was running to the wide world to save itself and its native language, but foreign land was running and ruining them even more, and our people became a part of foreign people. Our children were abdicating from the native words and became foreigners for our people. With part of the Ukrainian people traveled and the Ukrainian language looking for a good luck abroad. It was traveling around the world, meeting natives, and couldn't recognize if they were our people.
Одного разу потрапила українська мова в Америку та побачила золоті бані церкви. Аж серце зрадувалось. Прийшла до церкви і побачила пам'ятний надпис рідною мовою, коли цю церкву наші добрі люди побудували. Ось тут, думала вона, відпочину у своїх рідних. Стукає до дверей, великі двері відчиняються, і виходить священник. Але Він сказав, що тут він служить англійською мовою.
Once the Ukrainian language came to America and saw the golden heads of the church, her heart was so happy. It came to the church and read a historic wording in the native language when this church had been built by our goodness people. Here, she thought, I could have a rest at our native people. She knocked at the door, the big doors opened, and the priest came out. But he said that here he serves in English only.
Ще відвідала деякі хати українська мова, але і там її не прийняли. Те саме в Канаді, в Аргентині, в українській хаті панує іспанська, в Бразилії – португальська, в Москві – московська.
Also, Ukrainian language attended some houses, and there she wasn't admitted. The same was in Canada, in Argentina, in Ukrainian houses is ruled in Spanish, in Brazil, Portugal, in Moscow, Russian language.
Іде українська мова і вже втомилася. Хотіла відпочити. Ось бачить хату під стріхою, стіни білі, а перед нею ростуть барвисті пишні квіти. А збоку – садок вишневий. Наверху хати гордо стоїть лелека. Узрів лелека українську мову і радісно її привітав. Подумала, що це, певно, українська хата. Постукала, але і тут говорили російською. Пішла українська мова далі.
Ukrainian language went further and was very tired. She wanted to have a rest, so she saw a house with the roof, white walls, and in front of it were growing bright flowers. And from another side there was a cherries garden. On the house she saw a Ukrainian bird that was proudly standing. It saw the Ukrainian language and greeted her with pleasure. And she thought that it should have been a Ukrainian house, knocked at the door, but she heard Russian language there. So she went further.
Then, потім вона знайшла липу, поле. Тут пахло медом, літали бджоли. Легла вона на зелену травичку і заснула. І приснилися їй ангелики. Вбрані у вишиванки, взялися за ручки і співають. Гей, у лузі червона калина похилилася, чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася. А ми тую червону калину підіймемо, а ми нашу славну Україну, гей, гей, розвеселимо.
Then Ukrainian language went to and found a big tree in the field. There were smells of honey and bees. They were flying around the light, and she lied down in green grass, and she has fallen asleep. And in her dream, she saw many angels in vishvankas, the Ukrainian embroidered shirts. They took their hands in circle, and they were singing, oh, in the meadow, a red kalina has been down low. For some reason, our glorious Ukraine is in sorrow. And we'll take that red kalina and we will raise it up. And hey, hey, we shall cheer up our glorious Ukraine. And we'll take that red kalina and we will raise it up. And hey, hey, we shall cheer up our glorious Ukraine.
І тут вони стали рядочком перед сплячою українською мовою і всі гуртом сказали: «Не журись, українська мова, ми тебе понесемо на наших крилах до всіх українських дітей цілого світу, бо ми є їхніми янголами-охоронцями, і покажемо їм твою красу, яка прийшла до українського народу з далеких тисячоліть».
And they stood near her in line while the Ukrainian language was sleeping, and all together told her, do not sorrow. Oh, dear Ukrainian language, we shall bear you on our wings to all the Ukrainian children of the whole world, because we are their angels' guardians, and we shall show your beauty that came to the Ukrainian people from the ancient times. Ukrainian children have kind and open hearts, and they will admit you, dear Ukrainian language.
Але українські діточки мають добрі і щирі серця. Вони тебе обов'язково приймуть. Тут українська мова пробудилася, відчула, що відпочила, розплющила очі і не віриться їй у те, що побачила у вісні. Перед нею стояв гурт гарних дітей, вбраних у вишиванку. And the Ukrainian language woke up. She felt that had a good rest. She has opened her eyes and couldn't believe to what she saw in a dream. There was a crowd of beautiful children wearing embroidered shirts. Діти сказали, ось і ми, українська мова, з тобою, і не дамо тобі загинути, і ще розбудемо любов до тебе, всіх українських дітей. З того часу українська мова вже не блукала сиріткою по білому світу. Українські діти взяли її до свого товариства і співали українських пісень. Слава і честь українській мові на віки вічні і життя вічне. And children said to her, "Here we are, the Ukrainian language with you, and we won't let you die, and we shall awaken love to you of all the Ukrainian children." From that time, the Ukrainian language wasn't wandering around the world as an orphan. Ukrainian children took her to their community and were singing Ukrainian songs. Glory and respect to the Ukrainian language and unto ages of ages and eternal life.